Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
In my mind, it correlates the sport much, much better in that aspect. You know, so I reached out to the 916, and I saw some talent and some heart in a young lady out there by the name of Emily Warrior Watson. And, you know, it kind of drew me in just a little bit, the mentality that she has for the sport, her thoughts in life, and just the way she lives her life. So I felt it was prevalent to bring her on my show and share it with my listeners, as the sport truly is something that I carry with a passion, and it lives in my heart, and I like sharing that with you. So with that being said, I'm going to welcome Emily Warrior Watson to the program. How are you doing, my friend?
Hi, I'm well, thank you.
That's good. You know, one thing that really did reach out and touch me, and you see a lot of fighters say, know what you're fighting for. This is what I'm fighting for. But when you look at you, the true reason why you love stepping in the cage is when you look back, it's for Amelia. What has Amelia inspired in you that has, you know, given you more focus, more of a competitive edge moving forward in the sport?
It's really like an accumulation of this entire, like 2017, you know, just going through trials and tribulations, hitting a catalyst in my life, and really the starting with the death of my mother and a divorce and my children, though, you know, I have a 7-year-old Rylan, and then Aurelia is 4, and I mean, yes, you start with yourself. I'm a firm believer in loving yourself first, but I fight and I train, and everything that I do is for my children and for my mother, and because I feel her with me, and she's with me every day, and I also do it for my followers and people who support me and who've come to me in my life and helped me and supported me without even any question, you know, without even really knowing who I am, just off of my presence and like the energy that I give out. And that in itself is a blessing, and I'm very grateful for that. And that is why I do, well, that's a portion of why I do what I do, and why I will continue to do it until I become a champion. And I'm very serious when I say that. I will make it. And it won't just be that, though. I want to have a podcast, and I want to incorporate recovery work into it, and I want to give back to the community that I live in and other parts of this country. And I know it sounds, well, it isn't crazy. It's something that I'm going to do, and I will pursue it. And this today, being on your show, it's such a blessing just knowing you and talking to you and having the communication that we have, you know, on a daily basis, you know, since met. I don't know. I feel your energy, though. And even though we haven't met, I know we will soon. And yeah, I just feel grateful every day. Every day something in my life reminds me of why I'm doing it, and to not give up and to keep moving forward and to train harder and just be the best I can be in every aspect of life. Really, that's what I'm out. That's what I'm going to do, and that's what I'm working on every day.
You know, it shows, to be honest with you, my friend. It truly shows. I mean, you look at life, and it's full of adversity and in different magnitudes. You know, the loss of a parent is truly something that's hard to overcome. And like you stated,
yes,
also to go through a divorce, you know, to be able to go through both of those adversities in life and still be able to pick yourself up is truly tremendous. How much more would you say it made you stronger in your heart and in your passion to continue this drive to you know, build on what you've already had and continue and succeed at what is truly in your heart?
That's like what fuels the fire. I'm serious, like, and losing, going through grief. Okay, so going through the grief and bereavement of losing my mother, and then simultaneously, you know, at the same time, it was like I knew that I was with the wrong person for actually many years. And my mom, it was just, oh man, like just the universe working together, and Lord, and my mom, oh my gosh, I feel her so much every day. But it's not an easy thing, like you said, and it's like you kind of feel lost in the world in a way, and you go back to like, okay, well, what is my purpose in life? Why am I here? What am I doing? Why did I spend all those hours in school? Why did I spend all those hours doing this 9-to-5? Like, it just, it is a blessing, because it opened up my eyes, and I have a value for life and an appreciation for life that I've always had, but it just is strong now, and I feel it every day. My connections with people, like just going to a convenience store or anything like that, like it's much more. I make sure to be present in my day-to-day. I'm not perfect by any means. I still get angry. I still get sad. I cry, you know, but I'm not impulsive anymore. I used to be a very impulsive, like, angry, resentful person, and with the spirit that I still have now, but you know, I realize that life is precious, and I am very patient now, and I find happiness and laughter and kindness and everything and beauty in life, and I appreciate, I've always loved nature and the outdoors, but I just, everything is just more bright and beautiful, and it has more meaning. And now it's just like all of these dreams and aspirations I've always had, like now I'm going to do it. I'm going to fulfill them, and I will make sure that I do. There's no question. There's no ifs, ands, buts. Like, I don't care how hard I have to work for it. I don't care if I, you know, go through blood, sweat, tears, vomiting, through training, whatever it is, I'm there, and it's part of the journey, and it's more of a testament to who I am as a person and a fighter, and I have now, more than ever, an obligation to my two girls. I am their role model. I am the one that's going to have to show them, hey, you know, yes, your Nana passed away, and yes, your father has abandoned you, but you know what, it's okay, we'll make it together, and it's my job to show them that their mother is strong and powerful and independent, and that they will always be cared for, and they too will be able to pursue anything in life, you know, with hard work and perseverance and a positive attitude and to be humble and giving. And yeah, I don't know if I answered your question, but I kind of went off a little bit.
You're fine. You know, I'll let you know a little something about me, and that's one thing I like about my show is the transparency. You know, my mother died in my arms, so, you know, I know what it is like to go through that. But, you know, we must pull forward in life. Life is about always evolving, moving forward.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to throw a really hypothetical scenario out there. You're walking through the park, and you stumble upon a puddle. You know, it's in the walkway. You look down at the puddle, and for some reason you just have a reflection of yourself. What do you see?
Sorry, I get like extremely emotional about that because that is actually what I'm learning to accept me and be okay with me, with who I am, and loving myself and accepting a compliment when I receive one and owning up and knowing my worth, you know. And I do now. I honestly can say like when I look in the mirror when I look in that puddle, like I am proud of who I am and who I will become. I am, and I know. And I used to feel, you know, like it was an ego power thing or like being conceited or something, and it's not. It's just knowing my worth and knowing what type of person I am and what I have to offer to others. And it makes me feel, when I look at myself now, when I, you know, if I come across that hypothetical puddle, you know, like and seeing my reflection, I'm proud. I'm proud of who I am now. I really am. I just get emotional because it feels good to say that and know that.
You should be proud of yourself. You know, that's one thing, you know, a lot of people don't understand. And I look at life in a totally different way now than I ever have because, you know, most people when they hit 18, they think they're a grown up. They hit 25, and a lot of fellas, they think they're a man. And you know, here I am, 51 years old, and I'm still learning what it is to be a man. You know, and life is a forever evolving circle, and people don't really understand that. And you get to a certain age in life, and the complexity truly changes, and you could see that in you. It's a new stepping stone. You know, you basically have come to that why in the path, and you had a choice. You know, you take a left to you know, the pity party, or do you take a right, and you continue on with who you are and what you believe in, and you chose the right path, my friend. You know, one thing that...
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. One thing that inspires me about fighters is that, you know, people go and they do their regular 9-to-5, and they think that's life, but fighters do their 9-to-5, and then on top of that, they step into the octagon, they step into a ring, they step on the mat. And so in my thought, that creates a totally different individual, somebody who is truly grasping at life and taking it for what it's worth. What initially drew you to the sport itself? Where did you initially find the love and realize this is something that you wanted to do?
Okay, so I know I've stated this many times, but I started with dance and gymnastics and soccer, and then I was always intrigued. I've always followed boxing, UFC, kickboxing, all of that, and I was always very intrigued, and I knew that it was something that I felt passionate about. But growing up, my mom was a traveling ER nurse, and she knew, she felt it. She knew that I was passionate about it. That's what I started kickboxing. And then, so I had all the gear to go, and then she would randomly take me out. And then I'd be in there, and then I just knew when I would, the first time I walked in, it was actually LA kickboxing, I think that's what it was in the day. Or anyways, I went in there, and I fell in love. Like, I just knew. The element, the vibe, like, I just knew that that's what I wanted. And then when my mom passed, literally, I was like, you know what? I've done the 9-to-5. I have a degree. I don't, and this is what I want. I'm going to do it. Why not? So I made an Instagram. I started following all my favorite fighters. I actually direct messaged a few of them. And then by posting progress, people came to me and, like, set me up with my manager, who I have now. And then he found me the fight. And then that was it. Like, I knew who my opponent was. You know, I researched her and watched her fights. But I was like, all right, this is it. I'm going to do it. And there's no turning back. And this is going to be my way in. This is going to be it. And I obviously took the fight, and it didn't turn out my way. You know, but it was beautiful. I loved it. I loved the experience. And it was more of a testament that, yeah, this is me. I'm going to make this happen, and I'm going to go all the way. And I felt when I'm training, it's just, I can't even explain it. Like, it's just a feeling I just feel complete, and I feel in my element, and I just know, yes, I have a lot to learn. Any fighter, I don't care what level you're at, you should be receptive to learning. It's MMA, mixed martial arts. If you think you know everything and you're the best fighter, then this is just my personal opinion. I don't agree with that. I don't care how long I fight and train. I should be receptive to learning something every day, and that's just in life too. Like, you were speaking of, if you should be learning something new every day in life, and I'm excited about it. I like to just drench myself in it. I read, I dream about it. I read it. I research it. I watch videos all day. Like, I'm not just, it's on my mind all day. And I want to feed that every day. So I'm becoming the best fighter that I can be. And I want to be able to train people, and I want to see them. I want to see my teammates flourish and accomplish their goal. It's a beautiful community. Like, it really is. Like, I've received so much love and support, like, from different fighters every day, you know, and they check up on me every day, and I check up on them, and we ask how we're doing, and, you know, because you still have life that's there that you deal with, you know, like you're saying, like, it's not just the 9-to-5, and all these other people, fighters, some have children, some don't, some are married, some aren't, you know, and then you laugh and you talk about, like, the hard times that you go through, you know, or financial instabilities, and it's something that I just don't know how to explain it, to put into words, but it's just a beautiful thing, and I'm proud and honored and grateful to be a part of this community, and I can't wait to just meet people who I support and who support me, and to learn from different fighters, and I hope that they learn from me as well. Like, it's just a beautiful thing, and I'm excited, and I can't wait to just do it all and shine and prove to myself and everyone else, you know, my potential. And I'm just excited. I'm grateful, and I can't wait to meet you and experience whatever we're going to experience together, like we talked about prior. Like, it's just amazing that I'm even talking to you right now, really. But I'm honored. Yeah.
You know, one thing I took away from the last question that you answered was, you know, I've interviewed some of the top black belts in the world, some of the best practitioners in the world on my show. And
yeah,
there's something that you made a statement, and it truly touched me, because I'll take Tom DeBlas, for instance. I asked him, you know, what does it mean to be, you know, finally be a black belt? And, you know, he said, Don, you know, I may be a black belt, but I'm a white belt at heart.
Yeah.
And if you sit back and you really think about that statement, it's so true, because you're learning every day. Each day is a learning progress. If you think that you get to a black belt and you plateau, then you're going to stop learning. You're going to become one-dimensional. And that isn't growth at all. You know, you kind of diverse backwards from there. When you look at the sport as a whole, you know, it's a tremendous joy and love for, you know, that we both have. It's something that I hold near and dear to my heart. You know, what was it like for Emily Watson to take that first walk, to step in the octagon? What were the feelings that went through your heart and your mind, as only you would know once you heard the cage door locked?
Wow. My nerves were just going crazy. And I think everyone that was there and, like, watched my videos saw that for sure. Like, it was all nerves. Like, I was just so, I felt like a kid at, like, an amusement park or a candy store. Like, I was just like, wow. Like, it was like, I don't know, related to, like, a child's first time going to Disneyland. Like, it was just amazing. And it was, I just felt so, the word that comes to my head is, like, accepted. I know that may sound awkward, but, like, I felt like I was, I just belong there. Belonging somewhere, after having that, was heartwarming. I know that sounds crazy. I felt heartwarming in octagon. I don't know. But it was just great. It was just great. Like, I'm serious. And wow, like, so many different feelings and emotions, but I loved it. Like, I loved it. And then it's like, you know, once it closes, it's like, that's it, you know? That's it. And I love that feeling. Like, I thrive off that feeling. And it's, and me personally, I'm like a person who needs to be challenged daily. I need my brain to be challenged. I need to learn something new and intricate every day. And that's what MMA gives me. Like, it really does. And like the whole, it's just a beautiful thing. And I'm just excited. I can't wait for the future. And I love it. I can't wait to see what my future holds and my future fights and training camps and meeting people and experiences with everyone that's involved in this realm. Like, I think it's just a beautiful thing. I know that I have a lot to learn and to get in, but I also know that I can teach people and I have a lot to give and a lot of knowledge myself and support. I love it. I love the camaraderie and as much as it is like a team sport, I know it is on an individual level because it can be very brutal and vicious, and I've seen that already. And, you know, you just take it as it is, and you just think about how you're going to react and not be impulsive. And I love to support other fighters, though. Like, I really do. I don't care who you are, what fighter you are, what caliber you are. Like, I just think it's a beautiful thing. Like, if somebody wins, I'm going to congratulate them on that, and I hope nobody gets offended. Like, we should all support each other, you know? I get it. Once you get in it's different once you get in the octagon, but it's like, that's why you see people hugging after or and respecting each other, and that's a beautiful thing. Like, I don't know. I know I'm getting off subject, but, yeah. Anyways, I feel amazing. It was great. It just, yeah.
I understand, my friend. I truly do because, you know, I've been in the sport a long time. You get this great big build-up. It's just hype. And then finally when you do, you know, battle with another warrior and then at the end of it you both have that mutual respect for them. That's what the sport is truly all about. You know, people want to take the entertainment aspect of it and exploit it. And that's why I do the show the way I do, because it shows the true thoughts and aspects of a fighter and how they feel come fight night and afterwards, but you know, I kind of want to step in a little bit of a different direction. You know, when you look at all that you've been through, you've been through a lot in life. You've got your hands in many aspects of the sport. When you look back, who's the one mentor, or maybe there's a few, you know, mentors that have truly defined who you are, Emily? Who is that one person that, you know, led you to believe in your heart that you needed to see what your true passion was and you needed to live it?
Whoa, I don't even know where to start. There's been so many people. Well, first and foremost, I have to, through my mother's passing and the divorce I've found, and I don't know what anyone's religious preference is out there, but I've found the Lord. I really have. I have. And he's brought me here. He's a major part of what's brought me to have the courage to do this. And I don't know, I believe I'm very spiritual as well and follow Buddhism and practice it. And I pay attention to the universe. And so, yeah, that part I just wanted to mention, number one, first and foremost. But Body by Jose, Isaiah Gonzalez at AKA, obviously Kovars and Roseville, Chad Shepard and Brad and Marcel and John and Casey and everyone there at Kovars, just amazing. People from MMA Gold, fighters there, people from a few fighters from Team Alpha Male. Every day though, I'm meeting wonderful people who support me at Eric. He fought through Dragon House MMA. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I can't just choose one person. But, and my mother's spirit, her soul, like I feel her. She pushed me. I talk to her every day. I feel her every day. Yeah, I mean, she always comes to mind first and foremost, too. My mother, she taught me, you know, how to be strong and independent and always believed in me. She always knew my potential. Yeah, I may not have seen it myself, but now I do, and I listen to her. It's, you know, that's kind of like now that she's gone, you know, I feel her and... we understand each other now. Oh, I know that sounds crazy, but more than ever. And I don't know. And my friend Chelsea, my good friend Chelsea, supports me as well. And I have just so many people, family, friends, Paul and Eddie. I have a supporter in Iowa and Ohio. You, other people, I mean, I'm serious though, all of you inspire me and motivate me. I mean, I'm serious, like every day, like you guys keep me going and not keep me, but you know, keep the fire inside of me, inside my heart and then my soul. Yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's how life is supposed to be, and that's tremendous that you pay everybody homage. That just shows the true character of your walk. You know, you got a couple things coming up. You know, they're not locked down for sure, but you got a, you know, possible event with 209 Beatdowns coming, and then another possible event. Well, what are your thoughts going into the future with these proposals on the table? How does it make you feel knowing that you're soon going to be stepping back in the octagon?
Amazing. The initial plan, after my first fight, I spoke with my manager, Mike Salazar, and then Shihan Shepherd at Kovars, and we agreed that, you know, first, you know, that to wait until to decide in December to fight at the beginning of the year. So 209 Beatdown, I was contacted directly, and they had asked me, hey, do you want to be the first, like, female on our card in January? And I said, yes, but, like, these are my stipulations. So they're looking for an opponent for me right now. And then, like, through Dragon House, that would be in November. And tomorrow I'm actually supposed to get the confirmation on that one to see if the opponent wants to take that fight. So there's a lot of exciting new events coming up for me and proposals, and I'm excited. I mean, I'd like to take some boxing matches as well. As an amateur, I feel like, you know, everything's there for me. Like, there's nothing, I mean, yes, I'm always going to be a smart fighter. Like, if I'm not physically ready or if I'm injured or something, like, I'm not going to jeopardize a fight, especially if I are committed to it. I'm not going to just be impulsive and, you know, potentially subject myself to being pulled from a fight because of injury or something that I did, you know, carelessly. Like, that's not me. I'm always going to be a smart fighter, and I'm not going to be impulsive when I make decisions. I have a great support system and a great team, and we work very well together. And I just know that we're just going to do great things together and support each other all the way. And yeah, I'm super excited. That's like what I crave. I can't wait to, and it's the whole process, you know, announcing the fight and selling the tickets and going for the interview and having the weigh-in, going to the weigh-in, and just, man, it's an amazing feeling. Like, anybody out there, hey, if you ever thought about fighting, do it. Like, don't let anything or anyone stop you from your dreams or your aspirations or anything like that. Why? And what are you going to sit there and wonder about it? And what are you going to be doing while you're sitting there wondering about it? The same thing that you've been doing up until that point. Like, take a chance, do it, feel it. Like, that's how you know you're doing the right thing. And then if it's not, then okay, at least you experienced it. At least you could say that you did it. I'm excited. Sorry, I went off again on it. But I'm just, yes, I'm excited. I can't wait. I love it. And my mom will be there with me at all my fights. And this time, yeah, obviously the goal is to, I wouldn't say the goal to win. It's just the experience. I'm going to learn, and I'm excited. And yes, I plan to get that W. And the first one, I always say, well, they're all for me. But the second one, I told my manager, I was like, this one will be for you. But, yeah, I'm excited. And so there will be a lot of announcements to come in the near future for everyone. So.
Most definitely. I can't wait to share in that experience. At the end of this interview, you know, I kind of like to have each and every fighter, you know, kind of give a statement. You know,
yes.
And you pretty much have given that statement throughout the show. So I'm going to ask you kind of a different offbeat scenario. If you had to put down on a piece of paper
mm-hmm.
a statement about what the sport meant to you, what life means to you, to put into a time capsule for future generations to open up and look back and realize who Emily Warrior Watson was and is, what would that statement be?
I would say going through life, when you make decisions and you interact with people and different situations arise in your life, approach it with love and be genuine and be true to yourself, and you can't go wrong. And I truly believe that if you approach anything in life with honesty and love and good intention and good intent, and you're humble, and yes, you're genuine. You can't go wrong. And just always believe in yourself. Always have that fire there. Don't let anybody take that from you. Anybody. Never. Just always follow your heart, and you won't be disappointed. You can only go, and when you face adversities in life, use that as, learn from it. Don't become defensive or angry or in rage. Just think about it. Take that adversity and think about how you can progress and look at it in a positive way, because there is always a positive side. Be optimistic always, and that's what I would say.
I love that. You know, first and foremost, it was truly an honor for me to have you on my show. I think the sport has truly gained a tremendous warrior in you. And
thank you.
And it humbled me today on my show. You're welcome. You kind of humbled me today, and you made me realize why I do what I do. And it's a tremendous feeling when that happens. So I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any friends, any family, any social media sites, or anything you would just like to. The floor is yours.
Okay, yes. All my sponsors and potential future sponsors. Marshall Reddy, my manager, Mike Salazar, my sister, who's pregnant with my beautiful niece. Her name is going to be Ray. I love you. My dad, my brother Noah, all my family, my friends, obviously my daughters. Oh my gosh, I don't even know. Okay, Muay Thai Legacy, Legacy, Kovars in Roseville. I love you guys, all of you. Oh my gosh, I can't even. That's the part that makes me so nervous. Like, do I forget anybody? All my followers, all of you know who you are on Instagram, on Facebook. I love you guys. You are part of my world, and you always will be. I can't wait to meet you. We're gonna meet in November, right? And you're gonna come.
Yes, we are.
See, yes, I can't wait for that. But all of you, you know who you are. I feel like I love you guys, and all my supporters, my sponsors, Blackout. Well, he's not a sponsor yet, but Blackout. Anyone that I've done a podcast with or a live show with, I love all of you, and the experiences have been great, and the relationships that we still have and will have forever. My mom, I know. This is all for you. And yes, John, Lawrence, if you're listening to this, I'll make a shout out. And Chelsea, I love you, my girl. All right, I think I'm done. I'm sorry.
No,
I don't know.
Oh, you're fine. You're all right. You're all right, my friend. That's what this show's about. You know, I truly, like I said, I'm honored that you joined me today. I can't look forward. You know, I'm so looking forward to meeting you in November. You're a bright soul, and like I said before, I think you're a tremendous attribute to the sport and to anybody that gets to know you. You're a shining light. On that note, I just want to thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
It truly has been an honor.
Yes, and the feeling is mutual. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
This is the first of many, my friend. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Emily Dawn Warrior Watson. We're running a little bit behind, so we're going to jump on the phone and give Marion Reneau a call. Answer. might have to take a brief. Okay, let me cancel that out. We'll take a brief. We will have more
interruptions. Yo, yo. Sounds some old school blues type stuff. Yeah. Check, check, check.
While I battle the evils of this wicked world, I plan to capture my visions. In the midst of all these drastic decisions, trapped in this prison, always had a passion for winning, but I was too busy chasing after forgiveness. Rambling, my perception is still a testament of how I evolved. I'm honestly lost, trying to find a way to conquer these faults. I'm usually using immunity to excuse any scrutiny. Truthfully, I don't care for what a fallacy costs. Check it, I'm just a modern day pop with a drop of J and Nas, but I'm not too conscious. I awake the mind. I'm ahead of my time, like I'm never behind. So many dead in the mind, and I will never resign. I got a rhyme, it's a part of my.
All right, we're back, and I just spoke with Marian, so let's go ahead and give her a call. Hopefully I put in the right number. I don't know what's going on, but what I'll do is send Marian a quick little message and have her call me, and we'll get her on here. That way we take care of two birds with one stone. And that way I don't have to sound like an idiot continuing forward. You know, Marian had a tremendous outing this last weekend, and I want to get her on here and talk about this. But obviously my phone is screwing up because I just called her from my cell phone. We'll get it going right now. Okay. We'll see what happens. I'll try to give her a call. Either way, we'll make something happen. Let's see what happens. I'll try to call her one more time. If not, she'll call in. Have Marian Renault on the line with us. Marian, you there?
That's me.
I don't know what's going on. I was calling your phone, and it was ringing, but you wouldn't answer, so it must be on my end in the studio. I apologize.
Oh, no, I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear it. The phone didn't even ring at all. No worries.
We're here. We're going to make it happen. You know, Marian, I first and foremost, I just want to thank you for each and every time that you come on my show. You truly are a tremendous lady in your walk in life, especially away from the cage. You know, I think you play an instrumental part of a lot of people's lives, and you made a lot of change. But today's show, we're going to kind of talk about you. You know, you have this tremendous event. You had a set opponent. You get there, and some things kind of changed up. What happens when things get changed up in this magnitude of a fight for yourself and everybody with you?
Well, first off, it's you know, what's going to happen? Do I have a fight coming up, or are they going to cancel the whole thing altogether? So there's mixed emotions going into it because you don't know if you have a fight or not. But I was promised that there would be a fight and to keep training. And so basically, you know, my coaches and I, we sat down and we said, hey, you know what, we prepare for pretty much anything and everything, and we train all the time. So it doesn't matter, you know, what or who the opponent is, we're going to go into it doing the same thing that we've done before. Maybe the game plan changes just a little bit, but other than that, you know, you just mentally have to change the game plan for the opponent. But you're in the same octagon in front of a large crowd, and so you just have to go in there and get it done. you cannot sit there and focus too much on, oh my God, they changed my opponent. They changed my opponent. They changed my opponent. At least I had an opponent, you know? That could have been, on the flip side, bad if I didn't have an opponent.
Well, you went in there with a tremendous, I guess the best way to say it was, I watching a lot of your footage, I think it was one of the best outings in a while for Mario Ranallo. You know, in my thoughts and in my mind, I watched your performance, and it truly seemed like Marion Renault wanted to prove to the world that she deserves to be where she was at. Is that the sentiment that you took that walk with?
Exactly. That's why I took the opponent that I had previously, Jermaine. I took her because I wanted everybody to know, because I was told, don't take this fight. That's not a good matchup. This and this and that. I was told by numerous people not to do it. And I heard what they said, but I did not listen to what they told me, because in my head, I listened to my belief, and my belief was, I'm in this game to fight the best of the best, and in my mind, I can beat the best of the best. So I want to prove to everybody that I deserve to be, you know, that I have earned, not deserved, that I have earned a better ranking than, say, number 11. So, yes, I went in there with something to prove. Of course, I'm always harder on myself than anything else. And so, you know, when I took time to reflect, you know, there are some aspects of the game that I could have improved on, and that's something that obviously we've already started working on with my coaches. And so, you know, I always try to look at it as, like, even though there's a victory, there's still something to learn from it. That's not the best of Marion that you're going to get.
Most definitely not. You know, one thing that I think they need to do with ratings and rankings, in my opinion, as I've been in this sport for a long time, I think sometimes it, you know, like last time I had you on the show, they currently had you ranked as 11th in the world. Now you go there, it shows that you're ranked number 12, you know, which that makes no sense in my mind. That's coming off of Tapology. I was in the understanding that now you were considered to be in the top 10. Was that the same state, you know, facts that were slated to you?
Well, I look at the rankings, and I first off, I ask who's in charge of them, because I see some areas for or some need for improvement. And then on the flip side, there are those people who say, who cares about the rankings? They don't even matter. Well, honestly, in this game, in this high aspect of the sport in UFC, it kind of does matter, because a lot of the matchmaking is based off of the current ranking status. So, I mean, on one side, you can care about it. On the other side, you can't care about it. I know where I am and where I should be. I know that there are a few women in the top 10 who need to be taken out, like Ronda Rousey. I mean, nobody knows what she's doing, but she stays number 4 no matter what. So it's just one of those things that right now I'm not going to care about that number, but right now I know in my mind, I know mentally that I am higher than that. I can compete with the top 10 girls.
And see, that's kind of what broke my heart about this last fight falling out with Jermaine, is because, you know, I spoke with a constituent today. He called me and he said, I see that you have Marion Renault coming on today. And I said, yeah. He goes, isn't she in the top 5 now? And I said, no. I said, I don't understand it or get it either. But theoretically, you know, the fight that you were set to take, you know, partake in, would have propelled you immensely in the ranking system. And, you know, I think that you went out there with a veracity with your opponent. That was second to none. Would you say that, you know, as we stated earlier, that you kind of had to show the world what Marion Renault was about? But what extra competitive edge or chip on your shoulder would you say you took into the octagon that night, because you devastated your opponent?
Well, I went in there with the mentality that, you know, this has to get done. I cannot let it go to the judges. I've never had, you know, in the history of the UFC right now, I don't have success when it goes to the judges. It's like a big, huge gamble. They take a pair of dice and they're like, maybe she'll get it. Maybe she won't. So it was one of those things that I went in there, and no matter at the end of the day what was said or done, I just knew in my heart that I needed to finish the fight. And I fight bell to bell. So as soon as that bell comes on, I need to be active. And I need to keep going until I hear the bell ring and for me to stop. So even if I heard a 10-second warning, I was like, go faster, go harder, you know. And mentally, that's how we prepare for fights.
You know, we talked about the Beth Correa fight. That's a dead horse. I still think you won that fight. I want to jump to a pivotal figure in your life in the fight world, and that being Chris Cyborg. How much of a building or a certain aspect of your mentality of Marion Renault has Chris Cyborg instilled in you?
Huge, huge. I remember the first time I had the opportunity to train with her, and we sat down for dinner that night, and we had a long and lengthy conversation on just the entire aspects of the fight game. And she had a wealth of knowledge. I learned so much. I took a lot from it. Not only that, the way she trains, the way she gets in there, the way she handles herself, the way she is with her training partners. I took a lot from that aspect of it. I've never seen a female train quite like or have that mentality or that wealth of knowledge. I mean, she's been part of the game for, you know, over a decade now. So it was one of those things that the opportunity struck. I was able to do it, and I've grown since doing that.
And you truly have. And you know, it kind of leads me, you know, I know she's your inspiration in that aspect in the fight world. But, you know, my show always takes a left turn here and there. So, you know, I got to be honest with you. When I follow you on social media, as you know, with friends on Facebook and other aspects, the tremendous love that you express towards your son and everybody involved in your life, what did this mean, this win mean to you to be able to correlate that with your family? It seemed like there was something different this time around between you and the close people that are in your circle, especially with your son.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was one of those things, and it was so funny. I don't say this very much, but I'll tell you. But when I have a fight camp, you know, obviously I don't get to spend as much time with my son as if, you know, when I'm not in a fight camp, because I'm constantly training and I'm not here available for him, you know, to make him dinner every night. You know, sometimes he has to have leftovers or stuff that is heated up, or he has to fend for himself and make his own dinner. And I kind of felt guilty no matter how old he gets or how young he was. I've always felt guilty. You know, mothers get that way sometimes when they have to either go to work or they have to go to school and leave their son with the babysitter. They get that guilty feeling. And it's one of those things every fight camp, I let them know, babe, I have a fight camp. I'm not going to be around as much, et cetera, et cetera. But school just started for him. And I felt like that the key for me is to be a part of every aspect of his schooling from the get-go, you know, not to lose track, not to lose sight of it. And so, you know, school just started for him. So it was kind of hard for me in that retrospect, but the way he handled himself, he is such a champ, and he's so used to it. He stepped up to the plate. He helped out around the house. When I was gone for that week, he helped out with his grandparents when they were taking care of him. You know, for the most part, he maintained good grades during that time too. So it's a relief that I'm able to do that. But, you know, it's kind of also a relief because now I get to still be a part, you know, get to be more of a part of him. So I think that was the big factor, the big change, you know, especially when it came to my son. And then the people that are close to me, man, they, in my inner circle, they know the ins and outs of, you know, the weight cut, you know, me being tired, you know, sore, whatever the case is, they know it all. They know what nobody else sees. And so when I go into a fight, they feel it. They have the anxiousness, the anxiety of like, oh my gosh, she's on. And I know they feel it. And so when I win and that and I finally get my hand raised, their relief is like, oh my God, yes, you know, all her hard work pays off. So it was sort of like, you know, this is dedicated to you because you're invested in it as much as I am, you know.
Well said. Well said. Spoken like a tremendous individual that I know you are. Now I'm going to kind of touch on another different aspect. You know, I watched the post-fight video, and, you know, a picture inevitably came from being in the cage after the fight. And you titled it, This Man of Mine, I Trust You and Love You So Much. Thank you. What does it mean to have somebody of that relevance with you during these moments?
I'm sorry, you broke up just a little bit. Can you repeat that?
I said, yeah, there was a picture posted that you put the title on there, This Man of Mine, I Trust You and Love You So Much. I said, what does it mean to you to have somebody in your corner like that in these moments?
Well gosh. I can't even really put it into words, but, you know, to 100% trust in what they're saying, in the type of coaching that they give you, it's kind of like when someone says, you know, don't worry if you, it's like when Jesus says, you know, you can walk on water, like step out onto the ocean with me and walk on water. And you're like, oh, heck no, Jesus, I'm going to go straight down. I'm going to sink. I can't even swim. But then when you truly trust him and then you step out on that water and you start to walk on water with him kind of thing, that's the kind of trust that I have for my fiance. And I am so blessed to have that type of trust because I wholeheartedly believe what he says. I wholeheartedly trusted in what he was telling me in my corner, and I listened. Because unfortunately, my other corner man who was supposed to be with me wasn't able to make it, so I was left with only one. So I had to 100% just look for him for guidance.
And tremendous guidance you received. It was a tremendous fight. You know, the aspect that I took away, all of it, wasn't even in the octagon. The purest, well, I guess it was in the octagon, the purest of what you do in living and in life is, of course, a fighter in the cage. But one moment that I talked about with my guest on the show earlier was, you know, you get all this build-up, you get this hype for each and every fight. But after you go in there and you have this tremendous battle, there's a certain kind of trust, or not trust is a bad word to say, but a certain type of respect. There's a picture of you hugging your opponent, and you could truly see that both of you had mutual respect. What do those moments like that mean to Marion Ranallo, knowing that she could have a battle like that and walk away making a friend and still continue to be the warrior she is?
Well, that's why we're the professional athletes. There's nothing personal with me going into a fight with somebody else. It's very intimate to fight somebody else. It's that one-on-one intimacy that you have. But after it's all said and done, I mean, first and foremost, this young woman, I mean, she didn't have a full fight camp, but she was coming off of a fight camp. So she wasn't out of shape. I knew she was going in there and she was going to be ready. But without a shadow of a doubt, she came in and said, yes, I will take this fight, and yes, I will make the weight. And she did both of them. And so, you know, going into it, I had some form of respect for her already. I try not to give my opponents too much respect because I don't want to sit there and not be able to pull the trigger because I'm so worried about being respectful. You go in there and obviously you do what you need to do, but after it's all said and done, there's no reason for there to be animosity or a dislike, et cetera. You know, I try to maintain professionalism. And that's why after the fight, when she was laying there, I just sat there because I was waiting for her to sit up. I didn't know if she was going to continue to lay there, and I sat there for a second waiting for her to get up. And then when she finally did, I wanted to give her a hug afterwards. But that's why they saw me sitting there. Somebody asked me if I was tired. I'm like, no, I wasn't tired. I was waiting for my opponent to sit up and recover so that I can tell her thank you and give her a hug.
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, whoever said you're tired, I mean, you got to look at Marianne Renault's schedule, and you'll realize I don't think she ever sleeps. I don't think she's ever tired.
Yeah,
well,
no,
it's
and,
true.
And some of the cardio, you know, workouts that Coach Doug has me do, there's no way I'll get tired, because if I do, he'll come up with something more insane to make sure that I'm ready for the next one.
You know, you had a tremendous outing in the Netherlands. You know, your last outing before that was in Brazil. You know,
what is it about,
you know, being away and competing comparative to being able to compete in the United States? What do you feel, if anything, that, you know, you have to change in your game? I mean, you're dealing with different climates, you're dealing with different aspects and elevations. You know, do you feel you're more relevant having fights overseas than you are here in the United States?
No, but I do feel that there is, you know, there is a huge difference, obviously, the time zone change, and trying to quickly acclimate your eating schedule and your sleeping schedule according to their time zone. So when you enter into a different time zone, so I think that's the only thing that when I go to a different country, besides the climate, I think the only country that I had climate issues with was Brazil, because it was so hot and humid all the time, everywhere. It was humid, beautiful country, beautiful people. It was just hot. but the Netherlands, it was nice. The weather was perfect. I had no issues with the weather. The only thing you got to acclimate yourself to is obviously the time zone change.
Now, you know, my show, you know, I always promise I might not go deep, but sometimes I do. I fibbed, I guess. But what was that? I know you made that phone call right after the event to your family. What was it like making that phone call to your parents, Marianne?
It's always emotional. It's so funny because I had to, so as soon as my fight was over, I had to go do a couple of interviews and had to talk to a couple of people and talk to the doctor afterwards. And I get to my phone because I'm like, God, I got to call my mom. They're waiting for me. And I look at my phone and then my mom's like, call me already. You know, she's like, why haven't you called me? You know, she doesn't realize that I have to do all this stuff prior to calling her. But as soon as I called her, all you hear is just relief. It's very emotional for me to hear my son, to hear my dad and my mom. And I'm on speakerphone, and they're just, you know, commending what a great job. My mom's hooping and hollering, and, you know, my son's even chiming in. So it's emotional. It's definitely emotional for me. It's like, oh, my God, I can't wait to come home and hug you and be loved by you, you know, and get congratulated. But it's always emotional. They're my first phone call. They're my first I'm like, where's my phone? I got to call my mom. You know, whether I win or I lose, I got to let them know I'm okay.
No, and that's why I touched on it. Would you say those moments make everything worth it?
Everything worth it.
That you know, have.
Yeah, 100%.
See, that's what I love about you, Maureen. You know, I talked to somebody about this the other day. I said, you know, because they asked me, who were your top 10 fighters that you interviewed? And I said, well, that's kind of a hard question. I said, why don't I tell you about the fighters that I truly appreciate who they are just in life each and every time. And your name happened to come up. And the reason being is because you give so much to the sport. You give so much back to the mats, to the ladies that you're involved with and the others that are involved in your training. You give so much to your family. And on top of that, you're a school teacher who is very much dedicated in life. You know, what instilled that desire in Marianne Renault that has the one?
The first thing that instilled the desire was obviously the desire to make money. The desire to survive. I mean, it wasn't easy being a single parent And I know there are mothers and fathers out there doing it. Not the easiest thing. Commend you. I did it for many years, and it's hard. It's very difficult. Money inspired me. I didn't want to struggle. I wanted to be able to provide for my son. I wanted to be able to provide back-to-school clothing for him when he needs it and not be on a super tight, strict budget of like $70, you know, for all his school needs. And that's kind of hard, you know. Got to get a backpack, a lunch pail, school supplies, binders, and then clothes. So it was one of those things that I wanted to be able to provide for my son. I remember a couple of years, I didn't have any money for back to school. So I threw him a summer birthday party, and his birthday's in the winter. I told him, you know, gift certificates or cards to like Ross or Walmart so I can buy him school clothes. And they did. And that was one year that I was able to get him stuff because I threw him a birthday party in the summertime. So I initially did this for the money. That's what drives me. Now what drives me is I have goals. I have, you know, I have naysayers. I feel like I have something that I have to prove, you know, and not only to them, but more so to myself.
And I think you've done a tremendous job in all aspects. You know, Maureen, we look at life and we set all these goals and obstacles, and you've come on my show a magnitude of times, and you've made the reference of you being the old lady of the sport. And I sit back and I chuckle about it because, you know, you look at you when you compete. You know, there is no difference in the competitive edge in Mario or no. What would you say is that one facet in your heart that keeps that competitive edge at peak performance and allows you to maintain who you are on a world level?
I think because I have done it and been an athlete from an early age. I maintained, you know, my health. I maintained my physical health and my mental health. I think that attributes a lot to me being able to still compete at a high level, even though I'm 40 years old. I honestly don't feel it. That's why I laugh about it, because I'm like, I can't believe I'm 40. That's amazing. I wonder what's going to feel like when I'm 50, but when I think about it, I can't believe I'm 40.
I was stunned when you first originally told me. I was like, no way, get out of here, you know, but you truly are, and that just says, you know, more about you. You know, being that you are 40 years old, I think you still have a long, illustrious career ahead of you. What would Marion Renault like to see be perplexed in your fight world next? What would you like to be offered?
I'd like to be offered somebody, obviously, in the top 10, more so than anything. At this point, I want to be offered somebody who I fight in order to get a title shot. I think that's my ultimate goal. I mean, that's everybody's ultimate goal. They want the gold. They want that top spot, you know. That's something to attain. And it's not far anymore. I mean, I had to work my way up, and whether I'm inching or not. So whoever I need to fight in order to get that shot or be considered for that shot, that's who I want.
And I think you deserve it. You know, like I said, I know it's a dead horse now, but I'll still just go back to that day, you know, never let it go to the judges, because I think if the situation would have been different in Brazil, I think you would be facing one of the top four opponents in the world right now, and I truly believe that you deserve that aspect of the world, because you deserve it. You know, one thing I love about having you on the show is you are very forthwith about everything in life, and you talk about your age, you talk about family. You know, what is it about this sport that truly keeps the passion burning in Marion Renault's heart?
It's the people that I surround myself with. It's my small circle. They inspire me. They don't realize it, but their words of encouragement, the support that I get from the community, that inspires me. You know, like, hey, you can do this. You got this, champ. Let's see it done. That inspires me. You know what? They believe in me. You know, I believe in me. Let's show them. You know, so it's the people I surround myself with. It's the community. They inspire me.
And, you know, it's like you inspire me. You know, I still go back and I tell this to a lot of people from time to time. I said, you know, Marian talks about being old. I said, I'm 51 years old. I said, you know, but the cutest little thing in the world, she said on the show. And they go, well, what's that? I said, her parents listen to the show. And I said, you know, it makes me feel tremendous because, you know, one thing I have watched and, you know, we're now on iHeartRadio and Univision show is simulcast onto those networks is that my age demographic for the show has changed. Now I have, it's funny, that it goes from like 19 to 89. And mm-hmm. So the senior citizens listen to my show. I don't know if it's because your mom and dad each and every time you come on, go out and tell all their friends, hey, you need to listen to the show. But, you know, it makes me feel unique, and I love being able to share the fighters with such a tremendous demographic. And now my show has, could get almost up to 30 million, you know, live listens, you know, as the network we jumped on iHeartRadio is nothing to be shunned. I honestly didn't want to sign the contract for a multitude of reasons. And then, you know, I had a buddy of mine. He said, Don, you look at it, you know, as you're selling out, because I started the show without any thought of making money. I just wanted to give back to you, the fighters. He said, you're not selling out. You're giving instead of giving them a voice, you're giving the fighters a roar. And when he told me that, I signed the contracts and I went into syndication because I felt it was a necessity to share this type of platform. You know, Marian, I know your time is short. If I could get you to make a statement about life, this last outing, and what your fans mean to you going into the future, what would that statement be?
Well, it's anything, I mean, because the game of MMA doesn't last forever. Nobody stays in it and retires at like 50 or 60. If there's anything that I can say is, while I'm in it, I hope I have inspired you as much as you have inspired me. I hope that after it's all said and done, that you truly remember me in a positive light and not a negative light, that in some way, shape, or form, I have mattered. Because to me, the purpose of life is not to be happy, but it's to matter. Who have you mattered to? And have you made a significant impact in their lives? So, you know, after all that is said and done, my fans and my friends and family, I hope that in some way, shape, or form, I have mattered to them and inspired them in some way, shape, or form.
Marian, my friend, you've inspired more than I think you'll ever know, because you truly are a true testament to what this sport is based on and what a true warrior is. The walk that you have is truly humbling, and the path that you chose is blessed in life, and it shows, like you said, in your circle. If there's one thing I could teach you, being a little bit older than you, is, you know, life no longer has a circle of friends. My friend, it's a dot.
Mm-hmm.
And the dot, and the dot that you have is truly tremendous. And you're a blessed lady in life. Marian, I want to thank you with all my heart every time you come on my show. You truly will be a champion. I just believe it in my heart. You will get that day. And when that day comes, I want to be there. But first and foremost, I just want to thank you for the humility you express about the sport, life, and in family. Because you truly are an inspiration to me, listeners, all that follow you on social media, just on TV. You're doing something that, you know, people don't do, and that's showing that you can be a great warrior and still maintain integrity and humility. On that note, I'm going to toss the microphone over to you. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, anything you would like to add to the program? program. The floor is yours, my friend.
Thank you. Well, first and foremost, you know, I couldn't have done this without my Lord and Savior. So all glory to God. I thank my family and my friends. Thank you for supporting me and for listening to me and for, you know, motivating me and keeping me humble. I thank my team at Elite, my coaches. Thank Eloy Garza, my boxing coach, who is more than a coach. He's a mentor and on so much more. So thank you to my sparring partners and anybody that I've trained with. Definitely, I have to give them kudos because they keep me on my toes and they keep me grounded. If you want to find me on any of the social media, just contact me via Marian_Renaud, both on Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Usually I respond faster to Twitter than I do anything else.
Yeah, you truly do. It's hard getting a hold of you on social media, and I'm joking. You don't mind. On this final note, I truly do appreciate who you are and what you've done for the sport, but honestly, I appreciate what you do for others more in life than I do you as a warrior. And, you know, I know that sounds kind of awkward, but I interview thousands of fighters a year, and you're one person that truly encapsulates what it's like to be a true person in their walk in life and let everybody share in your glory. And that just says tremendous and profound words about who you are and about your parents. On that note, I want to thank you for sharing who you are each and every time on my show. I feel truly humbled and blessed.
Thank you for having me. Until we meet again or until we speak again, take care and stay blessed.
All right, you too. God bless you, my friend. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Marian Renaud. You know, she talks about herself being an old lady in the sport. She's not an old lady in the sport. You're only as old as you think you are. But if you go watch any of her fight footage, I guess you could say you'll be second-guessing that she's 40 years old. You know, on that note, I'm just so happy that she, you know, didn't let it go to the judges' scorecards. As we all know, she beat Beth Correa in Brazil. She should be in the top five. You know, whoever does the rankings, you need to reflect that. You know, with that being said, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. You know, without you, my brother, I wouldn't exist. I want to thank the United Way Merced, Affliction, the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie, and all the 86ers family. You truly are a blessing in life to each and every one of my listeners. I'm blessed, you know, on this new platform. The numbers are growing. The show is growing. The outcry to get on the show is tremendous, which is humbling to me because I'm just a normal, everyday, you know, man in life. I take pictures and I do other things in the sport. But this show, I never thought it would take off like this. So to each and every one of you, thank you and God bless you from my heart. On that note, we're going to go a little old school and take you out with a little bit of Ice Cube. You have a tremendous evening and God bless.
Yeah, boom, you know how we do it. When I walk the west side, I'ma do the west side. Nothing but the west side. Ain't nothing going on but the bomb ass rap song, hitting all night long. Just like me on the black and white ivory, getting six on a T-Elite. You don't wanna see a G-C.